CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft is in Glasgow speaking and hearing the remarks by COP26 these last weeks. Right now, he's anchored at the Conservative Environment Network, which is a compendium of conservative parties around the world, if I understand it. The UK is dominated by a conservative party, and the Prime Minister, Mr. Johnson, has taken a lead as the host of COP26 in using the metaphor of 1 minute or 2 minutes to midnight, something from the Cold War about existential threat to all of us. We go now to deforestation and methane control. These were remarks made when the leaders of the big states were in attendance in the early days. This is a report from Reuters in these last days to illustrate deforestation. Brasilia. Brazilian President Bolsonaro's government has shown new commitments to ending illegal deforestation in the Amazon and is aware it is a hurdle to improve ties with Europe. This, according to the Vice President of the European Union, Josep Borrell. Borrell met briefly with Bolsonaro on the first visit to Brazil by a senior EU representative in 9 years. He also held talks with the ministers of environment and foreign affairs. The quote from the Vice President of the European Union, "The will is there because the ministers know that it will be good for Brazil to put an end to illegal exploitation of the Amazon rainforest." Anatole, I come to you because you're very familiar with this issue, and so I want to turn the screw a little bit. Deforestation is piracy, is robbery, is plunder. At the same time, Amazon is part of Brazil, but it touches on a number of states in South America. The need for pastoral land or the need for farmland drives a deal of deforestation, and that also creates cattle herds that are part of the problem of greenhouse gases. And yet, the world feeds on and depends upon Brazil's output. Ethanol in our cars in North America, the blend that we get from sugarcane from Brazil, the beef that Europe likes so much coming from South America, feeds on Brazil. So I puzzle, is this understood as Brazil's problem? Or if you eat the steak and you drive the ethanol car, is that everyone's, or is that North America? Is that the prosperous nation's problem too?
It's both. I mean, there's a huge amount of hypocrisy, of course, in the West towards Brazil. Because, yeah, it is to a very great extent our beef consumption which drives the deforestation. But you know what the situation is in the United States. If anyone talks about state mandated reductions, you know, in beef consumption. I mean, that is such a political gift to the Republicans. They talk about it all, and to climate deniers, they talk about it all the time. So there are colossal political obstacles here. At least, though, the Bolsonaro government has, you know, moved to a recognition of the problem, which it didn't previously. And I think increasingly there is an awareness. I've seen this change over the years in India as well, climate change will have a disastrous effect on Brazil itself. This shouldn't be seen as Brazil making sacrifices because the West tells it to. And of course, certainly you can blame the West for so much, but in the end, that doesn't solve the problem. The point is that if the climate goes to hell, if the Amazon rainforest disappears, this will be a catastrophe in the first instance for Brazil, and, you know, not for us.
The tiger, Russia, you're very familiar with where I'm going now, Yakutia, the coldest part of Siberia. The fires raged last summer. It poured smoke into the atmosphere that traveled to North America, I believe, mixing up with the atmosphere smoke from California fires. The Kremlin is moved to talk about it. Is there conversation like that at COP26? Because Mr. Putin noticeably did not attend.
Of course, there is in Russia, as in other countries, a deep strain of conservative and patriotic concern for nature, for Russian nature, for the Russian forest. This is something which really mobilizes people's sentiments. And so, this notion of protecting Russia's nature is something which the Kremlin is now, you know, talking about quite intensively. The problem, of course, is what you do about limiting carbon emissions in Russia. And that is, you know, the Russian state is still a fairly long way from concrete measures to do much about that.
I want to give out one positive statistic and ask the expert here, that's you, Anatole, if I'm reading it correctly. I'm told that reforestation is a mitigating tool that has long been recognized. And yet, as we approach COP26 this year, those in charge of reforestation and its results admitted that they'd underestimated the success of reforestation and reducing greenhouse gases. Have you heard talk of that at COP26, that making forests is a tool that nature provides us? We have about a minute.
Yes, absolutely. And that's been one of the most encouraging things to come out of here. You know, the fact that you can replant, and it's gone surprisingly well. But of course, it also takes a consistent effort over a long period. It doesn't just happen.
And in reforesting, are you seeing people say, well, you know the old saying, the best time to plant a tree is yesterday. Do you see that push, not just angry voices, but what you'd have to say, agrarian voices?
Yeah, you do see that. And, you have seen some very successful state programs. They need to be extended more widely.
What we need is forests to cover the earth, similar to what the first colonial settlers in America recognized, that you could smell our forest 150 leagues at sea. That's how much greenery we had. And that is a tool forward. Now we turn to the big problem, which is the emitters, U.S., China, and India. With Anatole Lieven, he's at the Quince Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He's attending Glasgow, COP26. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.